Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bearers a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search the Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
When the stakes rise and the lights get bright, that's when you find out who can really swim. Deep Waters is a new UFC podcast from CBS Sports. Every Monday, myself, Dean Thomas, alongside with legends of the sport, Chris Weidman, Jorge Masvidal, and Dustin Poirier, bring you inside the octagon like no one else can. Deep Waters, new episodes every Monday. Watch on YouTube or listen on Apple, Spotify, and everywhere else you get podcasts.
Joining us right now, Greg Cosell, to talk some NFL football, producer of NFL Matchup and senior producer at NFL Films. Greg, good morning. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
Gentlemen, good to be with you guys. What's happening?
My man, you happening. It's
DJ,
your time of year.
What's happening? Been a while, my man.
Yes, sir. It's just your time to shine. Football season, you shine throughout the year. But
I appreciate that. I was going to, you know, that's not for me to say, but thank you.
All right, so let's operate under the assumption that the Cowboys don't see Ezekiel Elliott on the field for six games. Which running back on that roster do you believe will shine the most? Darren McFadden seems like the most sense. Alfred Morris is also there. What do you think is going to happen with those backs?
I would think likely McFadden. McFadden rushed for almost 1,200 yards 2 years ago. You know, they've had a very good offensive line for a number of years. I would doubt very much that their basic offensive philosophical approach will change. I mean, back in 2014, when DeMarco Murray rushed for 1,845 yards, Tony Romo, I believe, threw the fewest passes of any 16-game starter in the NFL. Prescott was close to that last year. I doubt their entire approach will change.
So as far as Dak Prescott, what does he need to change to progress as an NFL quarterback?
You know, that's an interesting question. I went through and looked at all of his third downs a couple of weeks ago from last year just to kind of get a feel again. And I thought he was very good on third down. He's calm in the pocket. You know, he operates behind a very good O-line, so he's clean in the pocket a lot. But I will tell you this. As the season progressed, and this is why I like to go back and be able to watch one guy, you know, for 150 plays, I thought toward the end of the season, the last four or five games, and the difference was really subtle, guys, but I thought he wasn't quite as mentally sharp the last four or five games. Now, that could also be a function of the lengthier NFL season. You know, just it wears on you. Obviously, he's not played that many games and done it for as long as any time in his life. But, you know, he struggled at times. He wasn't quite as rhythmic. You know, the ball didn't come out quite with the same timing. There were some times he didn't quite see things as clearly as he did earlier. Now, all this is to be expected. He was a rookie quarterback. My guess is they'll try to expand a little bit in the pass game because obviously every offensive coordinator has a voluminous playbook. Now that he's been there a year, same coordinator, same offense, they'll probably try to expand a little bit with some of the concepts. But I would doubt they'll be significantly different in the way they look.
The Cowboys haters who wanted to downplay the seasons of Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott will always say, well, yeah, anybody can run behind that offensive line. Anybody can have that season that Dak Prescott had behind that offensive line. In your opinion, with all the games that you watched, how much credit does go to that Cowboys offensive line for those
guys?
Well,
I think a lot of credit. I mean, again, you know, you get into that conversation, and you know, that's a polarizing conversation. But DeMarco Murray ran for 1,845 yards in 2014. I think DeMarco Murray is a very good runner, and I think he's a physical, relentless kind of runner. I don't think he's a high skill set runner. I think Ezekiel Elliott has a better skill set overall, but I think we saw Murray do it. We saw McFadden run for almost 1,200 yards in something like 11 games the next year. So I think that the offensive line is critical. I think it's an approach. There's a lot of people that I've talked to over the years, coaches, who believe that if you have a good offensive line and commit to the run game, that there's a lot of backs who could gain 1,300, 1,400 yards. So, you know, that's why I doubt that their approach will dramatically change.
Will it be as good this year, that line?
Well, they've obviously made a few adjustments. You know, they've moved Lyle Collins to right tackle. Well, you know, and again, we have the preseason to play here, so things can change. But Lyle Collins, you know, came out of LSU as many thought a top 40 type pick. Obviously, he wasn't. We know the reasons. I think he can play tackle in the NFL. I don't think he has to play guard. They're still trying to see if Jonathan Cooper, who was a top 10 pick a number of years ago, mm-hmm. and a pretty much a consensus top 10 pick out of North Carolina, they're giving him another shot to see if he can play left guard. So if those guys work out exceptionally well, you could argue their O-line could be better.
Greg Cosell, senior producer of NFL Matchups, senior producer of NFL Films, joining us here on Geo and Jones, CBS Sports Radio. Jay Cutler just got him a new job, a well-paying job, $10 million. Why haven't things worked out for Jay Cutler? And what is the deal with his play? I know he has a howitzer. I've been preaching it. I played with a guy similar to him in Jeff George. Leadership skills weren't there. They just wanted to go out and play quarterback.
I feel for you.
Similar type guys. Seemed like detached, but great arms, and so that's why they've been able to leverage that for lengthy NFL careers.
Yeah. Well, because he's a high-level throwing talent, and there's not, you know, those guys don't just drop out of the sky. Mm-hmm. But I think he's never been a guy who could consistently play within the timing and rhythm of an offense. He can do it for stretches. He's what I've always called a see-it, throw-it quarterback. You know, he's not an anticipation thrower. He mm-hmm. needs to see it. And you know, his arm is good enough that he can make some of those throws or a lot of those throws, but then there are times you can't. But I think just over time, what happens is he just doesn't execute the timing, rhythmic elements of the pass game as consistently as coaches would like. I think it's a little bit of revisionist history to say he was great under Adam Gase in 2015 in Chicago. You know, he played reasonably well, but he wasn't great. But I think the one thing Cutler does is he will turn it loose. And I think the way Adam Gase approaches offense, he really likes that X receiver, that single receiver to the boundary to be a featured part of the offense, whether it's a wideout, and in the case of Miami, it'll be Devontae Parker, or he loves the tight end. He loves those 3-by-1 sets where the single receiver to the boundary is the tight end, and that'll be Julius Thomas, who we saw Adam Gase do that in Denver with Julius Thomas. So I think Cutler fits the way Adam Gase wants to play.
Mitchell Trubisky's preseason debut had a lot of Bears fans drooling. Of course, we know how early it is, but from that debut, what did you like from the kid?
Well, I thought that was a Darrell Loggins game. He was the offensive coordinator. Everything with play action, quick game, boot. The concepts were about as basic as they could be. They wanted to get the kid comfortable. The one positive was that he was really accurate, and that's a big-time positive. But as far as what they asked him to do, I thought they did exactly the right thing. It was really simple stuff. It was one-read stuff, and they didn't ask him to do much at all. He made one really, really good throw on 3rd and 18 for 24 yards where he stuck a dig in some voids in the zone. A tough throw. He made it. But other than that, that was a Darrell Loggins game. That was a game just to get a rookie quarterback comfortable being out on the field in the NFL.
Precisely. And on the flip side of that, Mike Glennon didn't look as comfortable. And here's a guy that's been in this league now for 3-4 years, has started at times. Are you disturbed somewhat that he didn't look as comfortable?
You know, these games, it's so funny to me. And now that we have Twitter, it's fascinating. I don't look at Twitter a lot. You know, mm-hmm. I look at it almost for a joke because now what we have is after every throw or every run by a back, we have definitive statements about the guy's entire career. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I don't put a lot of stock. You know, look, Mike Glennon, if he's to be their starting quarterback, and that remains to be seen, because when you make a trade like Trubisky, you know, it would seem to me that the whole focus of the organization would be to get Trubisky ready to play. But if Glennon's the starter, I think the feeling with Glennon is that he's probably a mid-level NFL starter who can run a multiple offense where the focus is the run game, which is what they're going to do with Jordan Howard, and where the defense can keep improving, which is what they hope will happen as young players like Leonard Floyd continue to improve, and that they can be in games and have a chance to win 20-17. That's that. We're talking John Fox here. You guys know what John Fox wants to do.
Yeah.
Gio and Jones and Greg Cosell across the country on CBS Sports Radio. I feel like every year there's a new star born that we didn't expect in the course of the NFL season. I think Tyreek Hill was a good example of that last year. I have a feeling it's going to be Deshaun Watson. Not that that is out of the nowhere, but I have a feeling it's going to be him. He's going to start. Am I on the right track?
Well, again, you know, that's hard to say. Again, his performance, I thought, was solid. It was up and down. You know, I thought Bill O'Brien's comments after the game were right on the money. There were some things to like, some things that would be concerning, is not the right word, things that you want to be able to coach and build on. I don't think when the regular season starts he's going to be able to run around as much as he did. I don't think you can play like that in the NFL. You know, I thought that, you know, just, again, it's so hard because it's just one game. So these are not judgments as to what he is. If you just look at this one game, there were a number of times I thought he got stuck in the pocket. He didn't eliminate what wasn't there quickly enough. He didn't isolate where to go quickly enough. He needs to develop a better overall feel for the timing of the pass game from the pocket. But that's, you know, all this stuff is to be expected. You know, Bill O'Brien basically said that, and that's the way it goes with a young quarterback.
Greg, why do you think the Washington Redskins, the hated Washington Redskins, that's coming from a Dallas Cowboys fan, why won't they lock up Kirk Cousins? What else does he need to prove to them?
I don't know. I you know, again, I can only speak from my perspective. Mm-hmm. I don't understand that. I think, you know, he's a very solid professional quarterback. Yeah. He's a quarterback that when he has weapons, as he's had, he can run an offense very effectively and very efficiently. I don't understand that, so I can't speak to what their reasoning is. Because at the end of the day, if he's not the guy, then someone else has to be the guy. And who is that?
Mariota and Winston are going to be linked together for a long time. It seems like they're both on a pretty good track to be good NFL to great NFL quarterbacks. Who do you think takes a bigger step in 2017?
You know, I think they're both on a really good track. I think they're totally different kinds of players. You know, I think that Jameis is a little more of a risk taker, and I think that offense is a little more of that kind of pass game. I think Dirk Cutter's offense is a little more focused on the intermediate throws and the deeper throws. And I think that fits Jameis's personality, but I do think Jameis, you know, he's at the point now where he's playing on maybe the best team he's played for in his 3 years in the league, and he needs to sort of channel that a little more. Mariota, to me, is a more compact player. You know, that's an offense built on the run game with two tight ends, three tight ends, play action. That's how they try to get their big plays, shot plays on first down off play action. So they're in totally different offenses, and they're different kinds of players, but I would expect both to be really good pro quarterbacks.
Two that have been pretty good and one that's gone to Super Bowl, Cam Newton and Andrew Luck, both dealing with injuries. Has the shine come off of those guys somewhat, or do you think this is just a little bump in the road?
Well, you never know with an injury like Luck's. You know, so I can't answer that, but I think Luck's a very good quarterback. I mean, I think there are a couple of things that he would tell you that he still needs to work through, but I think he's a very good quarterback. Newton's always been, and maybe because I'm a purist to some degree with quarterbacks, just because of my background, Newton for me has always been a little bit of a tough watch because he's not really a precision quarterback from the pocket. And, you know, as guys play longer and longer, no matter how big they are, it's tougher and tougher to be to run. And I don't think he's a runner in the sense that he just flees the pocket. But I think that part of his game might decline just a little bit as time goes on. You start to get minor injuries. It's just not the same. And he's He's never been a really precise pocket player. He's a little bit scattershot, and you know that. Look, I think 2 years ago when he won the MVP, that was a great year. This past year was not a good year. I think Newton is somewhere in between that. You know, I don't think he's an MVP guy that kind of year every year, and I don't think what he did last year is what he'll be every year. But I think he needs to become a better pocket player to really reach that next level.
Doing the show in New York, we are already hearing suck for Sam chants from Jets fans talking about Sam Darnold. I know you've studied him. Do you think that's a little premature?
Yeah, I do. And in fact, I mean, look, I've watched six games of Darnold, six games of Josh Allen of Wyoming, and six games of Josh Rosen. And I think that the most physically gifted quarterback is Josh Allen of Wyoming. Now, I don't know what's going to happen after each guy plays another 12, 13, 14 games. I can't speak to that. But I think that Allen is a high-level talent. I think Rosen is the most refined. I think that Darnold is, you know, at this point, the way people will talk about Darnold, they'll talk about him as, you know, he'll be one of those instinctive playmaker types with vision, feel, you know, that kind of guy, you know, with moxie and competitiveness. And all that's true, by the way. You know, I think Darnold's only started, what, 9 or 10 games, BJ?
Right. Nine. Yep.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's you know, these are not judgments. These are just what the tape shows.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think a guy like Darnold, you need to see him play. You know, even if he comes out after this year, he'll probably, what, play 23 college games or 22, whatever it is. You know, that's not a lot of football.
No, he's actually started 10. I'm sorry. They won nine straight.
23, right.
They won nine straight after they lost his first start there at Utah. I like Josh Allen as well. So you think he's a guy that incorporates some of that dual threat into his game, but you like him more as a pocket guy?
Darnold?
No, Arnold. Allen, excuse me.
Oh,
Josh Allen.
Allen is, he can certainly play from the pocket. Mm-hmm. You know, he's a guy that needs a lot more discipline and refinement in his game. There was an inconsistency to his game. He's kind of a loose and undisciplined player, but he's a high-level talent. I mean, did you get to see him a decent amount?
Yes. Oh, yeah, I agree
mean,
with
watched,
you.
Like I said, six games on tape. And, you know, he's can be a wow player.
Yeah.
There are certain things he can do that you know, I think not many guys can do. And he's got a big arm. So with him, it's just the experience playing with more discipline. I don't know how he's coached, so I can't speak to what they tell him. He kind of reminded me a little bit, and I don't know what you saw, of Roethlisberger coming out of Miami of Ohio, when Roethlisberger was a thinner guy and moved, you know, better. I think Allen's arm is even better because I always saw Ben as kind of a finesse thrower who could power it when necessary, where I think Allen has kind of a hose.
So, Rosen, I agree, probably more refined of the three you mentioned, but it's a little fragile. Of course, he missed last season. Is that the only, I guess, knock on him at this point?
Yeah, I mean, look, you know how this works, BJ. People respond to the hype, which doesn't mean anything to me. So Rosen, you know, was a big hype guy, and so people talk, well, he hasn't lived up to the hype. I don't even know what that means. but, you know, I think that I'm just watching the tape, and I think that Rosen possesses the traits you look for. He's sort of got natural pocket ability. He's pretty refined. He's pretty advanced. He's played under center. He's turned his back with play action, which is a learned trait. If you have never done that, you have to learn how to do that. Because when you turn your back and then turn back around, amazingly enough, the defense is not in the same spot. So that's a learned trait. You have to get comfortable with that. A lot of guys don't.
Is there a rookie in this 2017 class that you're more interested than the others to see how they play out in the regular season?
Well, you know, I was really disappointed to see already that Leonard Fournette has a foot injury because that was an issue last year, and that's now a concern. And I don't know if it's serious or if it's just minor. But, you know, I watched his 9 carries. I thought he looked really good. He ran real hard. He looked the same as he did in college, and every run he was an eye back with the quarterback under center, which is what he is. So he's a guy I've been really excited to see, but, you know, again, now he's got a foot injury again, and foot injuries for running backs are not good things.
Greg, it's great talking to you. You are a good thing. Hopefully we'll get a chance to talk to you soon.
All right, guys, really appreciate it.
Thanks, my man.
All right, see you, BJ.
All right.
Greg Cosell, senior producer of NFL Matchup and also of NFL Films, chock full of knowledge.
Ton of it. Yeah. Great shows, both. I mean, you want to go in depth, That's the show.
Going up next, if I could get through the phlegm. Coming up next.
Gross.
Brad Heller, just speaking the truth.
Speaking of phlegm.
Yeah, Brad Heller comes back, and he was very depressed last hour, and we have the thing that will cheer him up. Coming right back.
Guns N' Roses are coming to a town near you. Listen to Tiki and Tierney for your chance to win tickets exclusively on CBS Sports Radio.
He was upset, and then Brad rolled in here.
He goes, it was my birthday yesterday. I was 39. But
my life sucks.
I was suffering from the birthday hangover, okay?
So you still sound like Eeyore right now. So I went to your Twitter account because I said maybe there's some people out there that are a lot more happy than we are and could send some motivational things to Brad Heller. You could tweet him some stuff. And then I looked at his Twitter account. And on his Twitter account, in addition to update anchor and studio host, he said improv and actor.
Yes.
Acting and improv. So I said this was the perfect thing that we could have to get him going.
Yep.
Get the creative juices flowing. So we asked the audience, what's a good monologue? What's a good thing to have Brad read? Mm-hmm. And Samuel L. Jackson in Pulp Fiction came right up. And there's a nice, hefty, hearty monologue that he gives.
How did Samuel not win an Academy Award performance? No.
Oh, my
Everyone
goodness.
Was lauding John Travolta.
Screw him, that weirdo.
Reemergence of John Travolta.
Nah,
Samuel
joke.
Was the man.
Yeah, Samuel. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So Brad has
Until he
this...
he played Steven in Django.
And Brad has this monologue in front of him, and we're going to see not only if this cheers him up, but how good of an actor he is, because maybe he can get out of this hellhole if someone if someone hears this.
Yeah.
So Brad, take it away.
Okay. There's a passage I got memorized. Ezekiel 25:17. The path of the righteous man is beset on all sides by the inequalities of the selfish and the tyranny of evil men. Blessed is he who, in the name of charity and goodwill, shepherds the weak through the valley of the darkness, for he is truly his brother's keeper and the finder of lost children. And I will strike down upon thee with great vengeance and furious anger those who attempt to poison and destroy my brothers. And you will know I am the Lord when I lay my vengeance upon you. Now, I've been saying that crap for years, and if you ever heard it, that meant your ass. You'd be dead right now. I never gave much thought to what it meant. I just thought it was a cold-blooded thing to say to a Malafala before I popped a cap in his ass. But I saw some crap this morning, made me think twice. See? Now I'm thinking, maybe it means you're the evil man. And I'm the righteous man. And Mr. 9mm here, he's the shepherd protecting my righteous ass in the valley of darkness. Or it could mean you're the righteous man and I'm the shepherd and it's the world that's evil and selfish. And I like that. But that crap ain't the truth. The truth is, you're the weak. And I'm the tyranny of evil men. But I'm trying, Ringo. I'm trying real hard to be the shepherd.
Oh, man, Brad. You nailed it.
I mean, you spat right through it, but... Yeah.
Was that your black voice? Did you do
I
a black
not.
Voice for that one? Yeah, you started off a little black. You did start off. You know you did, Brad. You started off a little, but that's okay.
Just to warm up.
Because he's black. It's okay. It's okay. All right. Very good.
Oh, man.
I got a little chills during that.
Yeah, I mean, he's no Abdul Smith, but he's all right.
That's put me on the spot there.
Well, you nailed it. Well, you put improv in there, too. So improv, you got to think on your feet, even though this was a script. We were going to do a Whose Line Is It Anyway sketch.
Oh, boy. That is one of my favorite shows, actually.
It is a great show. All right, Brad. You feel
better
now?
I'm trying real hard, Brad.
You morose bastard. Yeah. You feel a little
we're
better?
We're trying real hard to deal with your ass.
Okay. I appreciate you guys.
I kind of want Brian to read this now, though.
Dude, I love that scene. That whole movie. Samuel Jules Winfield was the man. Yeah,
but there's no way you wouldn't curse. You'd get so much into character, you'd just blow right through that stuff.
I think we had one of those last week while you were off.
Oh, really? You just cursed on the air? Did that happen, Pete?
It was close.
Yeah.
Which station?
Oh, yeah, I'm always cursing on that station.
Yeah, that's right.
880 all the time.
Yeah,
I do miss you rolling through. And then the soundproof studio, I do miss you rolling through with your good morning and your greetings to everybody.
I'll have to come see you.
We do have a couple of times of Brian slipping and not even knowing it.
Yeah.
We have those saved. I don't know if we can play
the one
those.
Time.
No, there was a couple. There was the one time
when the cop lied to
but
me.
I'm talking about there's other times where you've said words. I don't even think you've realized you said it. You know which ones I'm talking about, right? Where the couple of times you said the S word and he didn't even like realize it.
Oh.
Yeah. We have a couple of those saved.
I bet.
Too. Yeah. No, it's okay. It's funny actually. Because it just flows at you. It's just your default setting.
The police one was the best.
Oh yeah, that was
Well,
I said bull crap. You didn't say that.
I said that's bull. I signal.
All right, Brad.
I did signal.
Do the update. You're smiling.
Yeah.
Now look at him.
You are not the shepherd. Right. We got him to smile. You are not the weak anymore. You're the evil and the selfish.
All right, guys, we'll start with Major League Baseball. Great story in Denver involving Rockies pitcher Chad Bettis, his first time back on the mound since treatment for testicular cancer. He fired 7 shutout innings, and the Rockies blanked the Braves 3-0.
I don't think I was really in tune with what was going on until about the 5th. Just so many emotions, and I was trying to get them under control, but it was taking much longer than what was expected. It was great. You know, I was just trying to soak it all in.
Elsewhere in the National League, Giancarlo Stanton was at it again.
Tie block ready. The lefty deals again. Stanton swings. Hits a gigantic high fly ball. This is deep to left. Here it is, folks. A new Marlins single season home run record. And the holder is Giancarlo Stanton at 43.
Dave Van Horn, Marlins Radio Network there. Stanton breaking Gary Sheffield's 1996 team record. He's also got 22 homers in the last 34 games. Marlins beat the Giants in Miami 8-3. Aaron Judge hit his American League leading 36th home run, one of 3 for the Yankees in a 4-2 win over the Mets in the Subway Series. The Yankees trail the Red Sox by 4.5 games in the American League East. The Sox lost a makeup game to the Indians at Fenway 7-3. 2 2-run homers for Edwin Encarnacion. Cleveland's won 4 straight, now a 5-game lead in the AL Central. The Cubs move a game and a half in front of the Cardinals in the NL Central, a 15-5 rout of the Reds at Wrigley Field. Anthony Rizzo in a home run in 5 RBIs. From the NFL, the Chargers are hoping rookie wideout Mike Williams will be ready to go and make his debut in October. He's been dealing with a herniated disc in his back since OTAs. The Bears kicked offensive lineman Kyle Long out of practice after he was involved in a couple of fights. Some highlights from the new NBA schedule released yesterday. Paul George is going to return to Indianapolis December 13th. Chris Paul takes on his former team in L.A. January 15th. Jimmy Butler heads back to Chicago in February. Gordon Hayward's first game in Utah will be in March. And according to the toxicology report, Tiger Woods had 5 drugs in his system when he was arrested in May. Vicodin, another strong painkiller, Dilaudin, also Ambien, Xanax, and THC.
You really sold that last one.
N-T-H-C.
THC.
He's still working on THC. His acting chops, huh?
THC. Good thing it didn't end with a death notice there. At the age of 87.
The black brand came back.
And a THC.
THC.
All right. Maybe there's voiceovers in my future for that. I don't know.
You never know, Brad. Well, thanks, man. Look at this. He's laughing. He's getting it out. I knew that
I'm not supposed to smile like this at 7:30 in the morning.
Yes, you are.
It's not that early anymore, Brad.
That's true. Actually, that's true.
You've been up for
5 hours. That's true.
Don't start now. You're slipping back.
Yeah, don't do it.
You're slipping back.
Back to you.
That's Brad Heller. We'll talk to him next hour.
You and your THC.
THC. That's right. So, I got a pitch from my wife last night. She goes, I love this Bachelor in Paradise show.
Okay.
I'd like you to watch it with me. Mm-hmm. And you'll get into this one because it's got that Corinne girl in it mm-hmm. that you guys were all wrapped up in on the show.
Platinum Vagine.
Yeah, it's the whole thing. It's a whole scandal with her and the guy, DeMario.
Okay.
And you should watch this.
Okay.
And I still couldn't do it. I could not bring myself to watch it. I feel like I knew enough about what went on. There was no sexual misconduct that had taken place after the investigation.
Okay.
I feel like we spoke to Corinne. I mean, we've got Mikey B's got her cell phone number.
Yeah.
Hey, you hit on her. All this, you said.
I was just saying hi.
Yeah.
That's how we say hi down south.
You said snip him to her.
I said, hey, Corinne. Good morning.
So
I'm sure DeMario said the same thing. Hey, career.
So it did debut, and I guess the beginning of the show was all about that issue, and they used it to get eyeballs to the screens. But I don't need to be one of those guys that is going to claim masculinity and not watching The Bachelor or Bachelorette. Right. I don't need to do that. I just really don't like that type of smut reality TV. I can't do it. I do like certain reality TV. I don't hate it all. There's that show where these dudes fish for tuna off the Outer Banks, and I think that that's mm-hmm. really cool because they're fishing for their livelihood, and they get a big old tuna. It's like an $8,000 tuna, and then they're able to feed their family for a week.
Right.
I get into that. I got into Last Chance U, which is a docuseries. It's a reality show. I can get into that. But this is just, it's too much. It's right. too over the top. It's drama. It's too overproduced. It's bull crap. So I was proud of myself last night in not watching it. And that's last night is now the last, that's it, for 15 minutes for Corinne Olympios. She's never going to see her. I don't think so. I mean, where else is, unless they keep bringing her back for this Bachelor in Paradise thing or whatever, but...
So they're really, just to put a bow on this baby, no scandal. There really was no
There was a scandal, but there was no sexual misconduct.
Right.
So
just two young cats hooking up, right? That's it.
That were very drunk, yes.
Yeah,
Snivel.
Yeah, DeMario. And
yeah.
What's wrong with that?
Snivel. Oh, man.
He probably used that on Korean, too. Take that.
But I've been saving this. She actually said to DeMario, she goes, you know, you remind me of a guy that I got interviewed by named Brian Jones, and he's not here now, but you are. So let's get it on.
Mm-hmm.
She said, sniff him.
Mm-hmm. That was right before the end of the show.
So that's the end of that. So
no good.
More. This is the Corinne, the laying to rest of Corinne on Joe.
They look so
Jones.
Happy, man. Oh.
What, you're watching that scene?
Yeah,
now?
They looked so happy together. They showed them days after their sexual encounter. Yeah.
I can't even tell what's you live and what's you as a drop anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right.
Where you go, DeMario?
Kendall Jenner with a new NBA boyfriend. Who could that be?
That's
the Pepsi one. Kendall.
Oh! She had a... NBA guy before? It's hard to keep up with these.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Who's with Tristan?
That's Chloe.
Oh, that's Chloe.
Yeah, it's one of the older ones.
Okay.
But Kendall right now is in Charlottesville with a can of Pepsi. She's handing it out to everybody. And she also has a new NBA boyfriend. You don't know this one?
I don't know. I can't keep up with them. They move quickly. So... Chloe was the one with Lamar, right?
Yep.
All right. And Harden.
Yep.
And now Kendall, she used to be with another NBA player. Now she's with another.
I don't know if she ever was with an NBA player, actually. I don't know that. But she's got, I should say, a new boyfriend who is an NBA player.
Okay.
That's the way I should put it.
And Kendall. Let me see which one that one is.
That's the big, tall one.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So while Brian Googles
how tall
that.
Is tall.
We'll take a break and come back and give you that story.
It's the show that Ray Lewis blocked on Twitter. Gio and Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Blake Griffin is the guy that Kendall Jenner has been hanging out with. They've seen or been seen together twice in 1 week. And if you're a good-looking young male and a good-looking young female, and you're interested in the opposite sex, you hang out twice in 1 week, chances are there's something going on.
Can't be coincident?
No, not in my book. No.
Blake. Now, Blake has babies by another chick there in L.A.
Does he?
Think Matt Leinart's old squeeze.
I was going to say he's Matt Leinart's father. That is an interesting development.
I believe so. I mean, I'm not one to gossip.
Wow, look at you.
I heard.
Blake Griffin children, I'm Googling now.
Yeah, Bryn Cameron or something like that.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's got Ford Wilson Cameron Griffin is the name of the kid.
Ford Wilson?
Ford Wilson, Cameron Griffin.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, I don't see the... So, yeah, you didn't... Man, look at you.
What?
You're all over this. You were all over this.
No. I'm not one to gossip. I'm not over it. Don't give me credit.
But I didn't know. I didn't even know this. Usually, I got the finger on the pulse.
I'm instructing you when it comes to the Jenners, man, I'm just waiting for my shot.
Yeah.
Everybody else getting a shot. And this Kylie used to be with ASAP Rocky, apparently.
Kendall did.
Kendall
was with ASAP Rocky.
Who are we talking about now? Kendall?
Kendall's with Blake. Kendall's the tall one. Kylie's the one who
Kylie's with
got
who?
Already. Well, she's with Tyga.
Oh, she's with Tyga.
She got all the stuff done to her face and her butt and all that stuff.
Oh, really?
Oh, there's no doubt. And lip injections.
Why you
probably
do that?
A nose job. Well, because you want to look.
Let me see how she screwed up. I can't keep up with a whole bunch of them Jenners.
And there's a new reality show, Life of Kylie, that I caught my wife watching that one, too.
Wow.
That was a rough one. That was one I had
Kylie
to leave.
Jenner.
Oh, she's just.
Oh, yeah, she looks totally different now. Yeah.
When she was
real.
Yeah,
when she was real. And now look at her.
So good luck to Blake Griffin and Kendall Jenner.
Yeah, way to go, Kendall. Kendall.
Way to go.
What?
Wait, yeah.
Got another one.
Yeah. Man.
Get down with the get down.
I tell you.
They get around.
They do. I guess Chloe's the one that gets around the most, probably.
Isn't she engaged to Tristan?
Well, there's Tristan. There's James Harden. There was French Montana. There was...
Archie Diacono.
No, not him. There was also...
It was Tiger. That's why he had that drug cocktail.
She was married to Lamar Odom.
Wow.
So, yeah, she...
Dang.
Well, Kim, probably. Kim had a lot. Forgot about her already.
She had a few.
Yeah. Ray J, you can watch that one.
Yeah, you never know. You know, you got to test drive a few before you figure out what you like, right? Kick the tires, as they say.
And these are the most famous people in our country right now, for the most part.
Yeah.
It's pretty pathetic. Yeah. There's young girls all over the place emulating these.
Yes.
These fine women.
They are role models. There you go.
Mm-hmm. ASAP Rocky.
Yep. ASAP.
Some of the names of the rappers.
Excellent rap.
There's
a group. ASAP. ASAP Mob.
ASAP's Fables.
ASAP the Biscuit. there's a group. ASAP Mob.
Okay.
And he's one of the members. There's ASAP Rocky, and there's another one. ASAP something. Anyway, Rocky's pretty good.
Lil Uzi Vert.
That's a guy. That is a guy. Lil Uzi Vert. Yes.
Lil Uzi Vert.
Yeah, there's some crazy names out there.
Lil Boozy.
You got Lil Yachty.
Lil Yachty?
Yeah.
Why is everybody so small?
I don't know. And Lil Yachty's tall.
Oh, is he?
He's got a crazy hairstyle.
Ironic. Yeah.
Excuse me?
What'd no, I said, I, he
oh,
didn't say
said
anything.
That?
I said ironic.
Oh, ironic.
But he's tall. Yeah.
Excuse me. You know, that. D. Lawton kicking in.
Oh, please don't start. Childish Gambino.
Childish Gambino.
Carlos Delgado. That's not a weird name that we're looking for.
let's see. Well, we got.
Well, French Montana is an interesting one too. I mean,
he's French. He's from Morocco, so yeah, that's not weird.
The weird
French. The Montana weird. Part?
It's just a weird name. Yeah. It's just a lot of names.
Whole bunch of
Bugatti Casino.
Bugatti's definitely weird. We need to reach out to him. He's our eyes and ears, along with our boy Clarence there in Fort Worth about the Cowboys. So I'm sure Bugatti's got some.
He's a Redskins fan. He can't be the eyes and ears.
I ain't stole no dime.
Well, you keep your enemies closer, right? He keeps an eye and his ears on the Cowboys, just like I watch Fox News. Keep your enemies closer. You got to know what they're talking about,
tell you. So the NBA schedule is out. It's an earlier start. There's no four games in 5 days. So they're trying to do a better job to prevent the big resting problem that they had last year. And I don't know, you know, if it's going to help or not. But as I said, while this was a big topic during the end of the regular season, none of this would be nearly as big of a deal if it didn't seem like the coaches and players were spitting in the face of the league by resting guys in big matchups on national TV. Mm-hmm. That's when it became a bigger issue. If you and also when you rested all of them at the same time, if it was LeBron here, Kyrie there, you know, Durant here, Steph and Clay there, like then it wouldn't have been as big of a deal. But you rested all of them at the same time and a couple of times during national TV games.
Yeah. And that's the rub. Yeah, you can't have a wholesale sitting of your stars during one game, especially if it's a nationally televised game. And it shouldn't matter whether it's nationally televised or not. The fans pay hard-earned money. You have your regional broadcast as well. So you want to see those guys play. And then to not just have one star or two, I have all three sitting, that's just wrong. You're doing that to a detriment to your fan base, and I understand you're trying to you say you want to help your bottom line, and they're going to show up regardless. Well, eventually they'll catch on and they won't show up. Why would you? I mean, I think you'd get to a point where you'd have to guarantee so-and-so is going to play before I plop down X amount of dollars to come see your team.
So this is the first time in 72 years, the entire NBA history, that there will not be any 4 games in 5 days on anybody's schedule. So it's the season will be extended by a full week as well. So that, I mean, sure, that'll help a little bit. But also, if the NBA wants to have some sort of penalty for teams who do rest players, it's so easy. It'll be so easy to get around. Just say Russell Westbrook has a calf injury tonight. Strained. What do you? I mean,
you got to prove it, man. We got to see it, and we got to rub it. Make sure there's a bruise or a knot in there.
I don't think the NBA is going to have a rubber.
They're going to come down. The NFL has that guy that checks the uniform when you come out of the locker room.
Yeah, everybody has one of those guys.
Yeah, well, they're going to have someone come and check out his calf.
The guy for the Steelers.
I'm here to check the calf.
Used to be his name was Edmund Nelson, who used to play for the Steelers. Mm-hmm. I think he went to Auburn. Edmund, and he used to go into the locker room and just, he went like full back to his playing days, you know, because he was on he was on TV as like the post game guy too. You know, he was like, well, I think that the Steelers, it's like you know, in certain situations, you know, it was collegiate.
Right.
Well, I think that the Steelers, Bob, well, what they need to do is make sure that this defense stiffens up. And he would walk around the locker room after practice and like talk, man, what is that? Y'all kidding me with them socks, man? You know, I just used to laugh and be like, Edmund, what? What? You know, and he'd go up and get pounded. Man, you know you can't hang it out your shout. And they'd be like, all right. But it worked. You know, because then the players would be like, all right, I got you. You know, because if he walked around and was like, listen, you cannot have those shoes in that manner, they'd be like, man, screw you.
You guys speak their language, dude.
Yeah, but it was really funny.
Welcome to my world.
Yeah. Edmund also had, wears a bald head, as you say. He's got those very long ridges in his head, you know, like you ever see some people like that. And he said one day he was out playing poker, and this he goes, man, I've never been so insulted in my life. And I said, well, what happened? I'm playing poker. This lady looks at me and goes, how long you had cornrows? And I said, bitch, that's my head. He said this right before we started a segment on some Steelers show, and like, I remember DVRing it and watching it back. I was tearing because I couldn't, you know. It was like, welcome back to the Steelers Saturday Night, where we're talking about the Steelers and the Titans this week.
I see some guys with those crevices, man.
Yeah, but they were like perfect line. I mean,
yeah,
it looked like the Finger Lakes, you know. All right.
Oh, man.
We got a lot more happening on the show that you don't want to miss, I promise. Gio and Jones, CBS Sports Radio.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney refreshing!
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories. The unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.